Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Work.
Absolutely correct, Governor LePetitMan. And you are just in time as we work our way into hour number two, the Bobby Mack Electric Radio program on this cloudy and gray Tuesday. And as always, your input is welcome. All you need to do is grab the phone and use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, which just happens to be 800-347-1063. See, just like our frequency. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number 71307. My email address, bob@1063word.com. Now, I want to play with you, the interview that the Attorney General, William P. Barr, did with Pete Williams that is now circulating on the internet, because it is encouraging in that not only Mr. Durham, the U.S. attorney from Connecticut, who does have the power to impanel a grand jury and come up with indictments for people, bring criminal indictments against some of the individuals in this coup attempt against President Trump, and Mr. Barr, both are on record as saying, well, you know, Horowitz is entitled to his opinion, but we think essentially, let me put it this way.
I thought it was horse poop.
Yeah, I pretty much thought Horowitz's report was the same thing. Here is the interview, and it's about 3 minutes, and it's worth hearing, of the Attorney General Bill Barr being questioned by Pete Williams, and this is from NBC News. So you know, of course, it's a good conservative source. Here we go.
Why do you say that the FBI opened the investigation of the Trump campaign on the thinnest of suspicions?
Well, I'm glad to get into the issue of predication, but let me just start out by saying that I think you have to put this in context. I think the heart of the IG's report really focused on how the investigation was conducted once it got going, and that is especially the very serious abuses of FISA that occurred, much of which has been, in my view, not accurately reported by the press over the last day. But in one area, I do disagree with the IG, and that was whether there was sufficient predication to open a full-blown counterintelligence investigation, specifically using the techniques that they did to collect intelligence about the Trump campaign.
Well, as a policy matter, why not open an investigation on a thin pretext? I guess on the one hand, you could say it's a presidential campaign, it's very sensitive, you need better evidence. On the other hand, you could say it's a presidential campaign. We have to be very careful. There could be a threat to our political process.
Well, I think probably from a civil liberty standpoint, the greatest danger to our free system is that the incumbent government use the apparatus of the state, principally the law enforcement agencies and the intelligence agencies, both to spy on political opponents, but also to use them in a way that could affect the outcome of the election. As far as I'm aware, this is the first time in history that this has been done to a presidential campaign, the use of these counterintelligence techniques against a presidential campaign. And we have to remember that in today's world, presidential campaigns are frequently in contact with foreign persons. And indeed, in most campaigns, there are signs of illegal foreign money coming in. And we don't automatically assume that the campaigns are nefarious and traitors and acting in league with foreign powers. There has to be some basis before we use these very potent powers in our core First Amendment activity. And here, I felt this was very flimsy. Basically, I think the department has a rule of reason, which is at the end of the day, is what you're relying on sufficiently powerful to justify the techniques you're using? And the question there is, how strong is the evidence? How sensitive is the activity you're looking at? And what are the alternatives? And I think when you step back here and say, what was this all based on? It's not sufficient.
Yeah, I would agree. Attorney General Barr, in my view, very measured, very reasoned. And what he's saying is based on a knowledge of the law and the Constitution. And what you have here is a political opponent paying a company, Fusion GPS. Hillary and the DNC, as we all know by now, paying Fusion GPS to go out and hire this Steele character, former British spy, to make up stuff to put into the Steele dossier, then make sure that that gets to the FBI, and then the FBI uses that to go to the FISA court without bothering to tell the FISA court where the information in this phony dossier came from and who paid for it. It truly is unbelievable. I mean, this is the stuff of political thrillers like 7 days in May or something like that. We don't expect to see this kind of stuff going on in the real world. And yet, here it is. And thank God we have people like Bill Barr as the Attorney General who recognizes this stuff for what it is. Now, Horowitz can claim all he wants that they found no evidence of any political bias, but I was unaware of the fact that Horowitz apparently is illiterate and is incapable of reading the text messages between Peter Strzok and his paramour, Lisa Page. Because if you read those text messages, it becomes patently obvious they hate Donald Trump and were going to do everything they can or could at the time to prevent his election, and barring that, had an insurance policy to try and ensure that his presidency would be impeded in every way possible. And I think that Mr. Barr was very professional and, as I said, very measured in his assessment of what happened here. He recognizes facts as facts, not lies as facts. When you reach the point where Adam Bullschiff, as the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, goes on national television and makes up, just invents from whole cloth what he contends President Trump said in that phone call with Zelensky, when we all can read the transcript for ourselves and know that Schiff was lying, one of the multiple occasions when he lied, in addition to lying about colluding with a so-called whistleblower, including the lie about not knowing who the whistleblower is. It's just outrageous on its face. And I cannot believe in the United States of America that this will be allowed to stand. 4:15 here on the Bobby Mack Show. When we come right back on the other side, I take a valiant stab at catching up with a text line. And as Ricky used to say to Lucy, you got some splainin' to do. Be right back.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What? Gee, this is curious. You know, all the major alphabet networks reporting this shooting that occurred today. Five dead in New Jersey. Now six dead? Yeah. And yet, I've yet to hear any of these alphabet networks report what the Jerusalem Post is reporting. Now six dead in New Jersey kosher supermarket following shootout. Multiple reports say that the shooting was at or near a kosher supermarket, some citing J.C. Kosher Supermarket as the location, and others saying it was a nearby bodega. But kind of interesting that nobody mentioned there was an element of an attack on Jews, again, in their stories. And we'll see if they work their way around to it. Speaking of attacks, a story today, let's see, where was this from? I don't see the sourcing for it, but it was on Drudge. You know that Clint Eastwood, America's premier filmmaker, in my estimation, has a new film coming out about the Atlanta Olympic bombing, and the man that the media rushed to convict of the crime, Richard Jewell. Which is the name of Clint Eastwood's new film. Well, now, in their ultimate arrogance, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which people in Atlanta have a tendency to refer to as the urinal and constipation, have decided they are going to sue Clint Eastwood and Warner Brothers, the makers of the film, over an egregiously sexist depiction of a Journal Constitution reporter. Okay. Has it occurred to anybody else? These guys think it's a real good idea to sue Dirty Harry? How do you think that's going to work out? Do you feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? Yeah, go ahead, sue Dirty Harry. Good luck with that. One day after the Atlanta Constitution Journal and editor Kevin Riley threatened the producers and filmmakers of Clint Eastwood's Richard Jewell over its accusations of malicious fabrications in the film, calls to boycott the movie are mounting. Oh, this is from Slate, okay? That's a leftist website. The AJC, that's the newspaper, says the movie version of reporter Kathy Scruggs, a real woman who died in 2001, is written as someone who gets story tips in exchange for sexual favors with an FBI agent who behaved unethically and recklessly, and other people, including members of the media, agree. Oh, really? Other members of the media agree with that assessment? A representative for Warner Brothers had no comment, Beyond the Studio's Monday statement responding to the threat of legal action from the AJC, which demanded that the filmmakers issue a public statement that acknowledges they took dramatic and artistic license with the story and that a prominent disclaimer be added to the film. In a statement, Warner Brothers said the film was based on a wide range of highly credible source material. Quote, "There is no disputing that Richard Jewell was an innocent man whose reputation and life were shredded by a miscarriage of justice. It is an unfortunate and ultimate irony that the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, having been a part of the rush to judgment of Richard Jewell, is now trying to malign our filmmakers and cast. Richard Jewell focuses on the real victim, seeks to tell his story, confirm his innocence, and restore his name. The AJC's claims are baseless, and we will vigorously defend against them." By the way, there is a disclaimer on the film that points out that liberties are taken. It's based on actual events, but I think the Warner Brothers statement pretty much speaks for itself. Richard Jewell was railroaded by the media, including the sainted Tom Brokaw, a former anchor at Channel 2 in Atlanta, then the anchor of the NBC Nightly News. They rushed to judgment on this guy, and Eastwood does what Hollywood invariably ignores, and that is he tells the truth. Bobby, how can a newspaper sue a filmmaker for using the First Amendment? Let me quickly see if I can catch up with some of what's in on the text line here as well. Bobby, how about telling Governor Henry McTaxter, you fix the roads before you give the teachers a raise? Outrageous. Bobby, another speech by another elected official who wishes to be important instead of useful. Why even have them on if they just say what you already have been saying for weeks? Ask a tougher question, like what are they doing about this? Time to hold their feet to the fire. Looks like we're about to experience another Spanish Inquisition, guilty as charged no matter what. I certainly would agree with you in the case of Mr. Durham. Let's see some indictments. Let's at least know if you got a grand jury impaneled. Bobby, I'm old enough to remember a similar deep state action like what's going on currently in D.C., but it was in the USSR. Bobby, here's a question. Where would one go to have your sun-bleached leg hair stroked upward by a pool full of black kids? I guess you would have to inquire about that with Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe. Bobby, I got a question for all big Republican Representative Duncan. Why is there no pushback on our side at any of these hearings? Did you not hear what I played from Jim Jordan? Bobby, maybe Attorney General Horowitz does not want to be a victim of Arkanside or Clintonside. Bob, why did South Carolina vote the red flag law in? South Carolina has not voted a red flag law in. The legislature does not come back into session until January. They may take that up. What you are confusing this with is a local municipal law passed by the city council in Columbia. And that pertains only to the city of Columbia and is, by the way, unconstitutional. And we all need to encourage the Attorney General, Alan Wilson, to bring a lawsuit proving it is because it's South Carolina state law plainly states gun laws can only be made by the state legislature, not by a local municipality. But this is the gun grabber's attempt to get the camel's nose under the tent. 4:29 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Little Annie is ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side here on Tuesday. Jimmy Durante. Jimmy Durante, he was great. Miss him. Good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are. A little sound of the season for you as we work in the Christmas bumper music here. Coming up on 4:38, 22 before 5 here on the Bobby Mack Show in a gloomy Tuesday afternoon, as we go to the phones and welcome in Brother Fred, who usually, when we talk with him, is excited.
Oh, Bobby, I am excited. Thanks for taking my phone.
My pleasure.
Today was very interesting and rewarding. The busy signal for the insurance man is over. The Medicare supplements. And I can breathe easy, and I made my bi-monthly up to the nursing home. We have two nursing homes, and we have precious elderly men and women.
Right.
And I have an outlet that gives me magazines, women's magazines.
Right.
And I take them up there. And today, my friend yesterday called me, and I went down to see him, the one that makes the crosses.
Right.
And so he gave me a bag full. He never takes money. He just shakes my hand and prays for me.
Nice.
But anyway, the thing is, 16 more days and we celebrate Jesus' birthday.
What a day that'll be.
But you know what? I do it every day. I say, praise God, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
But I appreciate you and your cohorts that help you, and I look forward to listening to you. And what I'm saying is that I'm 90 years old now.
Right.
I tell you, Lord has blessed me, and I want to be a blessing to these senior citizens.
Well, that's nice of you to do that, Brother Fred, and I appreciate your checking in, and God bless you, and a Merry Christmas to you too, sir. Also in on the text line this afternoon, Bobby, I have my tickets to Rock the Red USA. Hope to see you there. I believe I will be speaking about, my topic is going to be bias in media, something I know a little bit about, having spent 20 years in television, including at one network. I believe I'm speaking at 11:45 on Sunday of the Rock the Red event. Hey, Bobby, while in Las Vegas, my husband Joey thought of you when he said, you know, Jerry Nadler and his council remind me of the Wizard of Oz, the Wicked Witch of the West, and her flying monkeys. I should get a kick out of that. Thank you for all you and the team do each and every day to keep us informed of the truth. Thank you. Appreciate that. Bobby, it is evident this rogue coup in the FBI and DOJ believes they should choose our president for us in this constitutional republic. Bobby, let me put this as simply as I can. That schiff don't flush. Okay, I think I catch your drift. Now, Bobby, this IG report is like putting the fox in charge of investigating the theft of hens from the hen house. Gotcha. Bobby, how did Brennan become the DCI, Director of Central Intelligence, top guy at Langley? Three words, Barack Hussein Obama. Brennan had no business being in CIA, never mind as its boss. Bobby, it almost sounds like Brennan is getting his paychecks from the Russians. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. This is like something you see in the movies. Yeah, another one who agrees. Bobby, the communist Obama is how Brennan became the DCI. Bobby Mack, the new radio.com app feature is awesome. We can now rewind your show live. That is so cool. Great show, Bobby. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right. You can do that. Moneypenny
awesome.
Said. Moneypenny said.
What?
Bob, well, we're going to give kudos to members of the GOP in the House for standing up for the president. Representative Getz, he's a guy from Florida, was great when he was berating Schiff for Brain's lackey the other day. And this in response to Jim Jordan when he was questioning Mr. Goldman, the lawfare attorney that was testifying for the Democrats the other day about all the terrible things that Bad Orange Man did. Bob sounded like who's on first. Yeah, it did. Bob, Jerry from Simpsonville here. Love your show. What comments, if any, do you have about nervous Nancy Pelosi attempting to take credit for the USMCA deal? That's the replacement for NAFTA, especially when she's done everything in her power to obstruct it for the last year. Yeah, Congressman Duncan pointed that out. I saw today on the Real Clear Politics site, Juan Williams has a column in thehill.com today that was aggregated onto RCP. Juan Williams writing, Nancy Pelosi is his politician of the year.
Don't!
Which sounds exactly like something Juan Williams would say. And that catches me up with the older text messages. Now the newbies that just came in. Bobby, thanks so much for all you do to protect what is left of this great republic. You are my favorite taco. Reference to the voice guy when he cut the promo about the new 101.5 FM frequency in Anderson. Where he kind of left out, he was saying, myself and Tara and your favorite talk hosts, and he kind of just ran right over the host part, and it came out sounding like we're your favorite tacos. Bobby, what's the penalty for a political coup? There are nations, including the way this one used to be, where it would be hung by the neck until dead. Bobby, I think the commiecrats will impeach President Trump and he'll remain in office and win in 2020. If they retain the House, the commiecrats will try and impeach him again. Because, well, you know, the very definition of insanity. Yeah, Al Green, not the old singer from the 70s, doofus congressman from Texas, has already said, well, you can impeach a president as many times as you want. Yeah, and you can lose elections as many times as you want, too, Al. Aye, aye, aye. Take a quick break here and then be back with more. Quarter before five here on the Bobby Mack Show as we cruise along through a rainy Tuesday. Be right back. Welcome back. Great to have you along. 4:51 now. It's 9 before 5 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Headlights on this afternoon as well, since it's really dark and gloomy out there already. Alvin Green, what? When did he start going by Al? Well, when I started calling him that. That's when. Bobby, I have a question. Being the judge over the impeachment hearing and the Senate is a Democrat, should we be worried? No, the judge actually is not a Democrat. He is a Bush appointee. The judge in the impeachment trial in the Senate is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. I'd be stretching it to call him a Democrat. Here we go. Time for us to turn to the sports page for today. Well, here's the scenario, okay? The New England Patriots are going to be playing the Cincinnati Bengals this coming weekend. Last weekend, the Bengals were playing the previously hapless Cleveland Browns. Fortunately for the Browns, the Bengals are even more hapless than the Browns are. So, in any event, the Patriots sent a video crew to the Browns-Bengals game. And ostensibly, they were there doing a story for a feature, video feature, that the Patriots do each week. So now the Patriots are in the middle of a hot mess concerning their video crew filming the sideline of the Cincinnati Bengals game last Sunday. News breaking late yesterday, things have only gotten messier and more suspicious since then. Suspicious? Well, who could possibly be suspicious? Does anybody truly believe that Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, who have a pristine reputation, as you know, Moneypenny snorting at that one, who have a pristine reputation, who could possibly suspect them of wanting to win so badly that they would send a video crew to take vid of the Bengals sideline in an effort to, I don't know, pick up their signals, to see what formations they use in particular situations? I mean, does anybody really believe that a team like the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots would send a video crew to spy on the one win Cincinnati Bengals? Well, yeah, maybe. According to the Athletic website, the tape from the Patriots film crew contains 8 minutes of direct Bengals sideline footage. Sources who viewed the recording told The Athletic that it shows Bengals players running on and off the field as well as coaches calling plays. 8 minutes of direct sideline footage is a lot for it to be a mistake or an accident. Now, I can tell you, having done TV sports myself, it's not uncommon to shoot what's referred to as B-roll. That is additional footage. You know, you do interviews with people, and then you have what are called cutaway shots to B-roll, showing them on the field or doing whatever it is they do, right? But I can also tell you this. You don't shoot 8 minutes of B-roll. Maybe 2 minutes? However, in the statement released by the Patriots, they claim it was just that. A mistake or an accident. They said that the film crew wasn't aware of league rules and unintentionally violated NFL policy by filming the Bengals sideline. Now, the Bengals, in their defense, say, look, do you really think that we would send a crew to do that against a one-win football team? And one of the guys in the video crew is wearing a Patriots shirt? Well, maybe. They claim the footage was never intended to be used for anything other than the do-your-job video feature the crew was working on, and head coach Bill Belichick told our sister station in Boston, WEEI, that he and the football operations people have nothing to do with video production. Yeah, I heard about this, and evidently this is our production people on the TV show that were there, and I have absolutely nothing to do. We have absolutely nothing to do with anything that they produce or direct or shoot. I have never seen any of their tapes or anything else. This is something that we 100% have zero involvement with. Boy, that's from one extreme to the other. 100% have zero involvement. This is something you'd have to talk to the production people about and what they were doing or whatever it was. We've never seen anything that they've shot other than what has come down on TV. Okay. Still 8 minutes of direct sideline footage. That's a lot of B-roll. It's a lot of video for it to be accidente. But, you know, Patriots haters are going to be Pats haters and say, hey, here they go, they're cheating again, just like they did against the Jets. Hour number three of the Bobby Mack Show is on the way next.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.